Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
Daryl, I'm so excited to be with you today to talk about courage.
Yeah, we do this well. So I'm excited too.
Yeah, I feel like we've been having these conversations for decades and now we're sharing them with other people, and that can be really nice as well.
Sure.
So our topic today is courage. And at Compassionate Leader Circle, we have two models for leadership. One is about self-leadership, and the idea of courage comes with the practice of being a visionary and being brave enough to have a dream and communicate dreams and visions. And on the leadership side, the principle of courage is the same, but the practice is being courageous enough to let other people take risks and have their dreams. So I offer that as like a jumping off point for our conversation today about courage.
You know, I can't help but to go back to my old basketball playing days. And what I got from athletics, and courage is a tricky thing, you know. Courage and fear are, you know, they really back up to one another. And some people might think that courage is an absence of fear. And I never thought that, you know, because fear is not being sure of what's going to happen next. It's the action that we take, right, that really defines us, right? And really defines us in the moment. And sometimes we never forget whatever that action is. We never forget what we did back then or yesterday. And sometimes I know I go to, well, I wish I coulda, or I wish I woulda. And anyway, I had a coach who always used to say, woulda, coulda, shoulda. And then he had an expletive that I won't say on the air.
Yeah, we have high school students listening to this, so we have to be better than we normally are. I like the idea, and I've had conversations a lot about courage being, you know, action despite the fear. You know, I have not had the privilege of doing things that were courageous without some fear. You know, I think one of the advantages of being older is I feel less fear. I feel like the older I get, and maybe this will change again, but I feel like I'm not distracted by fear as much as I used to be, or crippled by it, or think about a lot of things that could happen that often don't.
Yeah, you know, Laurel, I'm going to say we're I'm a little older than you are, so I have more experience than you do. And that's kind of what it is for me. You know, I've experienced a lot. And it's not just that I've experienced a lot, but I've had time to reflect on those experiences. And I think that learning from past experiences alleviates some of the fears that used to rob me of being able to move forward in whatever it is.
So what's an example of something courageous you've done in your life that you're willing to share today?
Well, the big one that comes up for me was getting on an airplane. I had never been on an airplane before when I was in high school. And my senior year, I started being recruited by a lot of major colleges. And the first plane that I got on was going out to Stanford. So I was going from New York all the way across country. And I didn't know how I was going to be able to sit all those miles up in the air for 5 hours. I thought it was like nearly impossible. So I don't know how I got on that plane. I just kind of closed my eyes and said, okay, I got to get there. And I did it. But I'll never forget how afraid I was to do that. So I don't know how courageous I was in doing it. I know that I was so grateful to be on the ground when I got to California.
Well, I think courage is personal. Like for you, that was a big deal. So of course it was courageous, right? Yeah, yeah. I once was lecturing at a university, at the University of Denver. And I told all the students they should do something that scares them once a year, which we had a good chat about. But of course, one of them turned around and said, well, what have you done in your life that's been so scary? And it was a great question. I was kind of taken aback. But the thing that I answered with, and I happened to be talking to a group of University of Denver's business school hospitality students, and I went to hospitality school undergrad. And I told them that I gave up alcohol, because when I gave up alcohol, which was a very scary thing to do, I was still part of the hospitality industry. And eventually that also led to me giving up the hospitality industry as a profession, because it wasn't really a safe place for me to be sober. So, and I didn't plan on telling them that story, but it was really a moment of, okay, Miss, do something that scares you every year. Now you be vulnerable with us and tell us something that really scared you. And it did scare me at the time for lots of reasons. It was probably the scariest and best thing I ever did in my life.
You know, I'm always reminded when it comes to courage, it's an inside job. You know, it really is. When I was a senior in college, this is another sports story.
We like sports stories. They're good.
You know, so I was drafted by the Boston Celtics and coming out of college. And these are the guys that I used to watch on TV for years. Bill Russell was my favorite player, and Dave Cowens was up there, and JoJo White and Charlie Scott, all these world renowned athletes were on this team, and they wanted me to come up there, and I was scared. I went up there and I had fear. I just didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't feel like I belonged. And if anything, I was paralyzed by fear. And I did not play well. So I got released kind of early. Like I didn't even have a chance to make the team. I mean, I was invited, but that's how they did it back then, you know. I was tight and I couldn't shoot and I couldn't do this and I would trip and I would do all sorts of things that I never did. I never displayed any of those malfunctions during my college career. So I had a year to go over to Europe and work on my game and really feel confident about who I was and what I was as a player. And I knew I was a better player than I had shown in the Celtic camp. And they invited me back. And in camp, I was a different player. I was a completely different player. I was better than the player they thought I was when they drafted me. And I was written up in the papers, and I would play well in the exhibition games, and it still didn't turn out as well as I wanted it to. But I knew it was through no fault of mine. And that was all through my inner self being satisfied with what I had done and what I could show people I could do.
I love that story because I think it demonstrates that sometimes courage takes time, and it takes, you know, it takes being uncomfortable and figuring out how to become more comfortable. And it's always an inside job. You know, I think when I started this company, I was very intimidated by the people I was interviewing and the circles that this idea of compassionate leadership brought me to. And it's only been through 2.5 years, 3 years of interviewing amazing people all over the world where I've learned that everyone is just a human. And in my case, compassionate leaders are probably the nicest people in the world, and they want to be supportive. But I could psych myself out that I don't belong. Like you felt like you might not belong with your heroes. I have felt the same way, and it takes time. And then one day you do something and like, wow, I did that without fear. That was really cool. You know, so maybe there is a continuum of doing things despite fear. And then if you can keep at it and practice and get support, maybe you can get to the point of having no fear and just doing things in a confident way.
Yeah, that confident thing really comes for me. Confidence doesn't always come with success. Right? Confidence comes with being satisfied with the effort that you put into whatever endeavor it is. And whether or not it's successful or gets rave reviews or gets the response that you expect, it's not really, sometimes not really the nugget that you get out of it. So that first year with Boston, I was not happy and was kind of embarrassed by the lack of confidence that I displayed. And they didn't get to see who I was, right? But fortunately, I got another opportunity to show that, you know. And I was satisfied with that.
Yeah. And I think that experience translates to so many things you'll go into life, whether it's dating someone for the first time or starting a new job, or you can get second chances sometimes anyway, right? If you hang in there and stick with it and stick with the vision, you may develop the confidence. And I think confidence comes with commitment. You know, you didn't quit basketball after that bad experience. You did something hard. You went to Europe and did a lot of things to develop your game and develop your confidence.
How about this, Laurel? I have a question for you. I'm a believer that you have to dream it first. And I really mean dream it, right? Because it hasn't happened yet. But that's my thought. What is yours?
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you. I work with a lot of people that forgot how to dream. You know, they don't give them. I mean, there's a lot of story out in the world like that's not realistic. That's never been done before. But it's been my experience that people that have happy lives and happy work, we're intentional about it, you know? I think sometimes people fall into great circumstances or great relationships or great jobs, but often they don't. So I do believe, especially around building a company, building a family, building an idea, building a product, building a team. It's been my experience that people have a dreaming story underneath the success. That's been my experience. And I feel like it takes a lot of courage to have a dream because of all the voices that might come into play. Like, you know, you might have a voice in your head that is, you know, I need to take care of my family, so I don't deserve a job that I love. So I just need to buckle down and make money. Or even though basketball is my dream, it's not practical.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because basketball was never my dream. It was either never my dream or I was afraid to let it be. And, you know, I don't know what all these years later, I never thought of it that way until just now. I never thought of it that way. Maybe I was afraid to dream it, to believe in the that dream, which is why I didn't perform so well that first year.
That's really interesting because it does, not having the dream protects you from failure. Right?
Yeah, I think that was it. And you know what? I had been so successful athletically throughout high school and then throughout college, like pretty wildly successful, which also got to my head a little bit. And I think I was led by a false ego. And I never believed that I was that guy. And it was, maybe that was why I didn't dream, right? I was afraid to have that dream. But I'll tell you, that year over in Europe was wondrous for me. Because I spent a lot of time alone. I was in two different countries that I didn't know anybody, right? I was starting over. They didn't know who I was. I had to prove myself all over again. And it was interesting. I had a lot of time for self-reflection.
I think there's something magical too about leaving your country. I had a mentor named Don Stapleton. Don and Amba Stapleton are amazing yoga teachers, and I became a certified yoga teacher when I was much younger. And he said to me once, sometimes you need to leave your country to figure out who you are.
Well, that certainly was true for me, you know, because I felt like I was, when I first went over there, I felt like I was back on that plane again, going out to California, right? I didn't know what I was doing. Now it's not 5.5 hours, it's 8.5 hours. I was going into a foreign land, right? It was the first time I had left the United States. And I think it's the alone factor and the lack of support. I didn't think I would have any support once I got there. Reaching inside, being your own, learning to be your own advocate, right? And believing in yourself, you know, because my past success was enough. I had enough adulation for enough people believing me. I didn't have to believe in myself. They told me how good I was, right? But growing into that and then trusting that, I think is really where I started to understand who I really was and what I could really do. And trusting that I could do it. And that's what I look for in leaders today, right? Leaders today, really, they trust their inside selves because they're familiar with who they are. And that comes across with a good communicator.
I think great leaders too can empathize with struggle. You know, and your story about going to Europe as a young man on your own reminds me of, I just heard about some research from Stanford University on a wonderful podcast called The Hidden Brain. We'll share the podcast in our podcast notes. And this researcher studies addiction and studies pleasure and studies abundance. And what she's found, she wrote a book called something about dopamine. I'll get that in the notes as well. But she talks about we have to all, in order to have great pleasure, we have to have struggle and we have to have pain and we have to have things that are hard. They don't have to be devastating. But, you know, I think developing confidence and courage sometimes comes from overcoming struggle.
I totally agree with that about the pain and the struggle, because I don't think I had never seen that side of myself, right? And I not only had never seen that side of myself, but as I said before, I was supported by all these outside influences. So that when I had to be satisfied internally and accepting internally for who I was, it was much more rewarding. And I think that that's where the confidence stemmed from. So this overcoming fear is almost, for me, was getting over myself, you know? And, you know, because how the outside world looked at me was really none of my business anyway. that wasn't why I'm here. I had to kind of figure out, well, why are you here, Daryl? You know, and I think that's what we all do. That's what we all can do. You mentioned before about being satisfied with being in a job for the paycheck, knowing that you could do more, knowing that there's something else out there for you. You know, that's a less fulfilling life. So
I think for me, the most courageous thing I've done is stick with this idea of compassionate leader circle, maybe even more so than getting sober. I don't think I'd have compassionate leader circle without getting sober, because that getting sober was a spiritual journey, and creating a company that I love about spiritual pursuits, including love and compassion and purpose, has been a spiritual journey. But I think what you said about finding your purpose, finding the why, is really important. And I think we just, as a society, don't spend enough time asking ourselves the questions about why and who am I and what am I here to be. But we're good at being busy.
You know, one of the countries that I spent a lot of time in was Sweden. And in Scandinavia, there are only 8 million people in Sweden. And everyone, you know, it looked fairly homogenous for me. They were not consumed with consumerism. They were perfectly happy to do whatever they were doing and living in community. I mean, they took time out for themselves. They took time out for family. They weren't afraid of not being taken care of. And I think that's what drives a lot of us here in America. We're lonely people thinking that we're not going to be taken care of.
And we have a lot and we want more, which is a problem.
Well, it's a problem. And when you think like that and you don't have an abundant attitude, like the pie only has 8 slices and I need at least 4 slices in order to feel good about myself.
Yeah. I think stepping away from the herd mentality of what other people have and think is success is also a way to be courageous, is really getting to what makes you happy. What really makes you happy? You know, might be more time with your family than it is, you know, working 80 hours a week. And that takes courage to kind of step away from what everyone else expects from you and what everyone else is doing. Finding your own path takes courage.
Yeah, I have been in contact with a couple of people I used to work with. And, you know, I got out of the corporate race. I won't even call it a rat race. I got out of the corporate system 15 years ago, and to spend time with family. And at the time, I was making a very, very nice paycheck. And I knew that that would stop. But I felt like spending time with my wife, spending time with my kids who were 4 and 6 at the time, somehow, and I think being in the program helped me a lot, right? I knew that that was more important than the big paychecks, right? And I saw a couple of people, you know, I see people who stayed in it and made a lot more money, and I was able to feel, I'm good.
That's amazing. And I'm lucky to be your friend. And I think both of us stepped away from the corporate life, and we've had more fun and more time to do what we really want to do. Well, this has been an amazing conversation, and I so look forward to having more with you. Tell me about in this conversation about courage. What was the big takeaway for you?
Well, I think I said it before that I think that I brought an imposter up that first year up to that Boston Celtic camp. And I just didn't know who I was. And I believed my own hype, and no wonder I was up there and played in fear, with fear in my gut, and instead of self-worth and knowing that I could do it, as I did the second year. That was my big takeaway.
Thank you so much for this conversation, and I look forward to having many more with you.
And thank you, Laurel. I always love talking to you.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeaderCircle.com.